The Old Testament reading for Misericordias Domini is written in Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be their shepherd, the shepherd of my people, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Peter chapter 2. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is the Gospel of the Lord. The entire sermon that you are about to have proclaimed into your ears comes from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther. They were proclaimed by him on this same gospel text assigned for Good Shepherd Sunday back in the year of our Lord, 1533. Although some may believe that what Luther was dealing with back then, we no longer have to deal with, but that would not be correct. The fight for the truth of Christ's voice being rightly heard will ever be going on until the Lord's unveiled return in glory. Luther preached, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our dear Lord Jesus Christ actually began the sermon on this gospel at the beginning of this 10th chapter of John, basing it on the nature and characteristics of sheep. For the Lord God so created sheep that among all animals on the earth, there is none with better, sharper hearing than a sheep, as experience teaches. Suppose there are 10,000 men gathered together. A sheep will become skittish and run away, except at the voice of its shepherd, which it recognizes and follows after. So certain, so acute is its awareness of the shepherd's voice. Similarly, there may be 1,000 sheep in a flock, with all the ewes bleating, yet each lamb will recognize its mother's voice and run after her until it finds her. A sheep's hearing is extremely acute and perceptive. Christ here takes this singular trait and states that he too has such lambs. "For I am a shepherd," he says, "and my little sheep have this characteristic to precisely recognize and know my voice. If my voice is not there, no one can lead them." Jesus wants to teach us that if we wish to be Christ's sheep, we must have acute ears. Ears that distinguish Christ's voice from all the others, regardless of how clear, beautiful, enticing, and friendly those others may be. From this, therefore, we ought to learn that we must not only diligently hear God's word, but hear it in such a manner that we are immune to the input of the devil, who constantly seeks to plant all kinds of false teaching and mischief into our hearts. For a sheep not only has delicate and acute hearing, but also discriminating and sure ears, so that it distinguishes its shepherd's voice from all the others and follows only him. The sheep does not recognize a stranger's voice and so pays no attention to that voice. We are to be such little sheep and not only hear our shepherd's voice, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, but follow it faithfully and it alone. Christ's voice says to us, "You are a poor sinner, but I died for your sins. By clinging to me, you will be saved." We should listen to and follow him, always believing and thus confessing, "That is my shepherd's voice." If, however, we are overcome with fear and trepidation, so that our thoughts cause us to despair and forsake Christ and run away from him, we must say to ourselves, "That voice of despair and doubt I will not hear. It is not my shepherd, but it is the voice of a wolf." Accordingly, this parable of the shepherd and the sheep, our dear Lord Jesus Christ wants very much that we not only hear God's word, but also learn to hear it so exactly that we rightly distinguish it from every other word. It was tantamount to his saying, "Those who hear and do God's word know me and are my lambs. These same little sheep are so dear to me that I lay down my life for them and grant them eternal life. I take away their sin and death because they know me and I know and love them." Another reason this sermon is comforting and precious is that the Lord speaks of himself as shepherd over those who have and hear his word as his little sheep. It follows from this that we are not now nor ever will be forsaken. No matter how many temptations and sorrows we have here on earth, one person lacks money and goods, another has poor health, a third, other problems. It seems we are surrounded by wolves and without a shepherd. It is just as Christ said to his disciples, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." And daily we see before our eyes that the Christian church, the Christian people, are in the same predicament as the little sheep which the wolf has caught by the pelt, ready to devour. It doesn't seem as though we have a shepherd who is concerned about us, but rather that the wolf has us in his jaws, nor do we seem at all to be so dear to Christ, but quite the opposite, the hard way that things go and life and death are always upon us. But maybe that's the way it has to be. Namely, as if we actually are forsaken and without comfort, so that we may truly hear this shepherd's piping, and so learn truly to know him. That happens when the voice says, "I know my own, and my own know me." Whoever is guided by this voice will not be dismayed when the devil makes him poor and sick, or when he is persecuted and plagued in the world. Instead, he hearkens to the voice of Christ, the shepherd who calls him out to him, saying, he calls to him, saying, "I am your shepherd. You are my dear little sheep for which I laid down my life. You hear my voice, and so you recognize me, and I know you." Such an understanding comes only from the Word and by faith. For the Lord himself said, "I know them, even as my Father knoweth, so even I know the Father." When Christ, God's Son, walked on earth in person, it often seemed as if he were abandoned to all the devils and the most evil characters who later also crucified him, venting every conceivable act of malice upon him. Surely it seemed as if God himself had forgotten Jesus, that he was unaware of him and did not know him. Yes, it looked as if God, his Father, was not at home. And yet the Father did know him. As he here says, "The Father knows me, and I know the Father." As if to say, even when it appeared that the Father did not know me, I nevertheless had shown that he did know me, which in very truth he did. He did not, or did he not, fetch me out of hell and rescue me from death? So you should also act, my little sheep. Do not let yourselves be led astray when it appears as if I knew you not. I do know you, my little sheep, and I will not forsake you. That's why Christians here on earth must, as it were, remain hidden under misfortune, heartache, sin, and all sorts of weaknesses and offenses. So much so that there may seem to be no difference between a Christian and an unbeliever. Outwardly considered, do not living and dying seem to be the same for both? Yes, sometimes it even seems that Christians are worse off with our Lord God than a pagan. Doesn't the Christian have more hard times and also more offenses and temptations? But don't let that fool you. Instead, keep remembering what your shepherd says. I know my sheep. Granted, the devil and human reason interject with whisperings that say to you, but how can he say that he truly knows you when things go so badly for you? Here you must reply, I am certain that he knows me. And even though I must suffer death and all kinds of misfortune, I will not let that thwart my faith. I hear and I know and stay close to his voice. For even as a shepherd tenderly calls his sheep, so Christ also encourages me with his words, saying, I am your shepherd. I have laid down my life for you. I died for you. This is the word I hear and believe. This is my one sure guarantee that he knows me and I know him. If I should at times have different feelings than Christ here describes, that will not hurt me in the long run, for all such things are but earthly trial. Contrarywise, here's what the Word teaches me about eternal life. When I feel death approaching and know that I must die, just as do also those who do not believe in Christ, I still have the voice of my shepherd, who has given me the most gracious promise. Whoever keeps my word shall never see death. Also, I lay down my life for my sheep. That is why I will never doubt that my faithful shepherd knows me. Such knowing, however, is a hidden thing, so that faith has space to function, being exercised and strengthened in the tension of suffering. Otherwise, as soon as we come from our holy baptism, clean and immortal, we would have no need for the Word or faith. But because the Word is a living, active thing, it must be believed, even if not fully experienced, until that day when faith is no longer necessary, because then we will see and experience its reality. Never doubt, therefore, that when a man is baptized, he, because of God's promise attached to the water and because of faith's reception of it, he is as lovely and pure in God's sight as the dear sun in the sky. No sin remaining, nothing but eternal righteousness. Christ himself spoke that way, saying, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But this, of course, cannot be outwardly observed. Regardless, however, it is true. Provided we abide with the word and the voice of the shepherd. Everything depends, therefore, on holding fast to the word, remaining faithful in receiving what it promises to deliver, until that blessed and eternal future when he will fully reveal what we now hear and believe from the Word. For just as our life, now and hereafter in eternity, involves two ways of living, namely being a sinner and saint, so it is impossible That in this life, we can fully and entirely experience what we will feel and experience yonder. Learning to know Christ is therefore truly a great art. There's always something new to learn. Just so, it's a great art truly to identify a Christian. Where is the man who can say that he's already experiencing eternal life? At the same time, we must recognize the clear truth that a child, still laden with death, sin, and all kinds of miseries, with no visible marks of eternal life, has begun eternal life on the day of his or her holy baptism. How can that be when the old life is still visible? Overarching that old and sinful life, God has prepared an eternal life, and it's already ours according to the word and faith, even though we are not yet actually experiencing it. The world sees us as sinners, even though we are righteous before God by faith. Outwardly, we are still foul, but in God's presence, lovelier and brighter than the sun in the sky. Recognizing a true Christian, therefore, involves far more than outward appearances. It's a matter of hearing the word. That's exactly how it is with a little sheep. Its very life depends on hearing. If it doesn't hear the shepherd's voice, the wolves will soon be there. Without the shepherd's voice, all joy and assurance vanish, and only fear and trembling remain. That's how it is also with a Christian. If he loses the word, all comfort is gone. As long as he is drawn to hear the word, he will behold Christ, his shepherd, and therewith everything Christ has earned and promised him, namely forgiveness, life, and salvation. And that focus enables the Christian to live out his life in full, certain hope. He eats, drinks, works, does what he is told to do. Yes, will even gladly suffer whatever is laid upon him. He keeps his ears wide open for his shepherd's voice, and more trains himself not to judge according to what he sees and feels, but solely according to the sound of the shepherd's voice, which says, "I know my own know me, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." This then we should learn, and we must discipline ourselves not to be offended when we see that Christians also must suffer and die like other people. Here is the true wisdom and the precious talent of Christians, that they are able to say, on the surface, I see no difference between Christians and unbelievers. In fact, Christians are often worse off and must endure 100 times more pain and evil than the pagans. On the basis of the word, however, I see a great and outstanding difference, namely that Christians and unbelievers differ not physically or as far as eternal goodness is, or external goodness is concerned, but in this, that Christians have and hear the shepherd's voice. This voice is not heard by the pagans, Muslims, and Jews, or by hypocrites and false Christians who want to earn heaven by their good works, and still less is the shepherd's voice heard by tyrant leaders or by that anti-Christian and luxury-loving crowd, the Pope, and sadly those who follow his unscriptural teachings. The shepherd's voice is heard alone by the little sheep of Christ the Lord. Generally then, judged by outward appearance and worldly standards, you will detect no difference between sheep and goats, between Christians and non-Christians. The faithful and only shepherd and bishop of our souls, Jesus Christ, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, grant us grace to truly recognize and follow his voice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.